And right now it is time for us to peruse the pages of the Lakeville Journal. We take a look at the stories that they are following in the journal. And in our center studio, we have Cynthia Hausmunter. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And how are you?
I didn't mean to scare you this morning.
You didn't scare me.
It's so late.
Well, we just sort of keep it. Here's what happens. This all looks fine on the outside. It's just that the internal workings.
It's like the duck on the water.
No,
right. Little
it's not like, no. I have a great, an old engineer, Henry Ellenbogen, once said to me about a radio station I worked at, and it was a great radio station. On the outside, you would think, wow, what a great radio station. You come here. He said, radio stations are like cow chips. On the outside, after they've been there, they're hard and crusty and everything like that.
Yeah.
And but you open them up and they're still
nice.
On the inside, it's still cow poop.
So So we just run around with a spray.
Thing. That's right. Let us welcome in Janet Manko. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
All right. So we are set to go and taking a look at the front page. Shaw's got the story on third turbine. They've got 3 years to build that. And, you know, a picture like that does it some justice, but there's no real justice until you see them come in to construct the turbines, and then you actually get up close and see the turbines.
They're huge.
Yeah.
They're huge. But, you know, I have to say, as we're all, you know, expressing concern about Cricket Valley, and we all are feeling that there's a movement that needs to be made toward more green energy production, I wouldn't say that anybody in Colebrook, I mean, I would say they've been pretty good about letting these things get built, but, you know, certainly there's been some pushback. These things are big. You definitely see them. And, of course, if your property is nearby. So they've got a contract, I think, to build six of them. They've built two, which I think personally look really cool, but I don't have one in my yard. And there's actually a historic house on Rock Hall Lane that was the only remaining house north of the Mason-Dixon line by Sanford Meisner. And it's a B&B, and there's one that's scheduled to be built on that road at some point. So we'll see what happens with that. There is a lawsuit, or there was at one point.
There is. When you live close to them, you do hear there's a certain sound that you hear and stuff like that.
Ground rumble.
It's advancement in some sort of way. So we've got to find alternate forms of energy.
Yeah, and it's like everything.
It's
there's always something.
A little bit of everything, but with new forms of energy, you need regulation. Sooner or later, you're going to see more geothermal and stuff like that, which involves a lot of digging and stuff.
But, that's kind of cool.
It all comes to fruition. All right. We'll get back to energy a little bit later.
Sorry.
All right. An urgent call about knotweed.
Yeah, Bernie Drew wrote that headline in, but it's true. You know, we have all these invasives, and one of my lottery dreams is when I win the multi-million-dollar lottery, I'm going to hire Tom Zetterstrom and Christian Allen to just eradicate every invasive along the road because they look so horrible, and we have all these beautiful trees here. So a particularly bad one has been knotweed, which made its appearance, I guess, about 3 or 4 years ago. We started really hearing about it, and you can see it now. It's all over the roadsides. It's in flower. It's got that kind of lacy, yellowish-white flower. And very hard to get rid of. And a lot of the way that it comes here is in fill. So when people are building and doing construction and actually inside, you'll see that there's a Christian Allen, who is a selectman in Canaan, is saying that they're pulling fill from the excavation dump at the transfer station there and using it for properties. And there's often bits of knotweed in there, and you only need a 3-inch piece. And once it's in there, it just spreads like
it's
crazy.
There.
Yeah. So, you know, people don't like to hear this, but glyphosate is what's being used to spray it and seems to be the only effective way to get rid of it.
All right. A little story, which you can get inside and look on the Region 1 numbers this year are stable when they say stable, the number of students that came to the school on the first day, which was 386, that's the number they go with. Yeah.
Right. And October 1st is the official first day. And I think last year, the official first day, there were 384. But yeah. Patrick Sullivan got the numbers for the last 5 years. And you can see that there's some fluctuation. But, you know, what can I say?
That's right. That's right. Now, the next story holds a painful reminder for me. It's a great story about Dick Tabor starting the Northwest Corner Crop Hunger Walk 35 years ago, the first walk which I was in, and I was 425 pounds, and
wow.
I ruined my left knee for life in it because we had Dale Jones and I had raised I think it was $3,000 or $5,000, and so wow. I had to finish the walk. Yeah.
Whatever it was, he paid way more to have it all fixed later.
But it took me 5.5 hours to do it. Oh. There was no one around at the finish except for Dick Tabor,
wow,
and Mike Murtaugh, who waited for me,
oh. Which is very sweet.
But anyways, the crop walk is 35 this year.
Yes, and it's on September 30th, and Joanne and Richard Tabor, such wonderful people, and started the crop walk. And so crop walk is a worldwide thing, and this is our local crop walk. And they walk to raise money for people in developing nations, but also a large percentage of the money that's raised goes to...
25%.
25% goes to local charities as well. And a lot of schools come out, and especially the private schools, which will bring lots of kids over in a bus. It's a very lively activity. You don't have to finish it. you can just write a check, or you can just write a check and not walk at all, or you can go and walk, or you can also run, and it's a sort of a lovely scenic walk, and people do like to walk, certainly, so it's a great way to combine a walking meditation, which we talk about later in our compass section.
But back in the old days, you used to have to go over the mountain.
You still can if you want. And that's a 10-mile walk.
Right. There's a couple of different routes, I guess, now, right?
Oh, I eventually, the river walk portion is beautiful of it now. It's a very nice walk.
Yeah, you can do 5 miles or 10.
Yeah. All right. Now you've got a great picture of the Great Falls, and then a story where we really should have, with all the rain and non-rain and rain and non-rain, it should be a pretty beautiful fall as long as we don't get heavy rain and windstorms in the next month.
To knock the leaves off, because as soon as the wind comes, they just they all fall off. So actually, in terms of the waterfall, that was before the storm and the most recent rain. And it was running, and I drove over the bridge yesterday, the iron bridge between Falls Village and Ames Hill section of Salisbury, and that river is really kicking. So I stopped in to talk to Denny Jacobs at Jacobs Garage, who is the head of the Water Commission in Falls Village, because they had still been on drought alert for most of the past year, even though it had been, raining, and we kind of felt like things were okay. And he said, I think that we're pretty much out of the drought. He said, you really have to talk to the well guys, because they can tell. But he said, right now, First Light is doing repair work on the canal, because I had said, I don't get why there's so much water going through, but the river is not at flood stage yet. It's only about 3 feet, 3 feet 9 inches, and flood stage is 7 feet. And he said, well, it's because they're doing work on the canal. The water's not going through. And I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but I'm going to pop over to the power station today and see if somebody can explain it. But he also said what really impacts the waterfall, obviously, is what happens above it. Yeah. So he said, what really counts is how the rain was in Pittsfield 2 days ago. And he said, it takes about 2 days. So by this weekend, there should be quite a spectacular show there. But it's very, very dangerous to go down there. And people are very cavalier about the way that they relate to that water. So I'd like to remind people, don't go hang out there and think that it's safe. It's very dangerous.
All right. Non-dangerous, the 64th and 30th district debates are coming up.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. It should be a pretty safe evening. It will be Friday, October 12th at 6:30 p.m. at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and we have the four candidates who are vying for our state seats in the House and Senate. And so everyone is invited to come up to the high school and ask questions and hear their, potential representatives or incumbents talk about the issues. And we're grateful to CATV 6 WHDD for coming over to videotape it and running it on the Channel 6 into the election. So thank you for that, Marshall.
And we also take the audio off it, and we will insert on a Monday night, when we start our classical music, really at 7 o'clock, we will insert an hour before we start that classical music every other week and run the debate on the radio, the audio as well.
Right, which is so great to have it on radio and TV. You only have to go listen or watch it once, and you'll know what they said, so everybody can be informed. And we're grateful to the candidates for being willing to serve and for doing this.
All right, let's move into the Kent Potter's body of work.
That's Joy Brown, who's really famous. And if you talk to Potters, they talk about her with such reverence. And as far as I can tell, an incredibly lovely person also. I mean, look at the heavenly smile on her face. So Deb Alexinas went down and interviewed her. And this is very interesting. Once a year, they put together this kiln in her yard, which is called an anagama. It's a Japanese-style kiln. It's very long. And she invites all the potters from the area to come in, and they take all of their work that's been glazed, and they put it in there. And I love this about ceramics, is they just wait and see what it looks like when it comes out, because you can't tell when you paint glaze on what it's going to, how it's going to look when it's fired. And they say it has the touch of the ash. And so this is all something they all would do anyway, but they're also this year doing a clayway tour of different ceramic artist studios, and that's coming up Columbus Day weekend, and we will have an article about that as well.
Now, on page A4, this is so interesting. You've got the story about Salisbury and its part in World War I coming up on Friday in Millerton, the Dutchess County Historic Department with the Legion Hall. They're doing Millerton's involvement in World War I. And
Falls Village has got theirs coming up.
Falls Village has got this. But the pictures and the information that you see are absolutely stunning.
It's moving. Yeah? It's very moving.
I mean, just look at that Salisbury Veterans Post for the photograph. Memorial Day 1919.
And as Patrick points out, there were still Civil War veterans who were alive then. And I would say right now we're losing our World War II veterans. So it's incredible to have been living at that time, when the Civil War folks were still kicking around. And there's somebody in the photo that they're trying to identify. So if you read the article, you can see who they're looking for. But also coming up in Falls Village on October 20th, because it is the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I.
All right. Then you've got a story by Tom Tobridge on the gala party for the Hotchkiss Library.
To me, this is like one of those small town newspaper stories where Tom Trowbridge, who's the head of the library and grew up in Sharon, just sent us this little note explaining why the gala party for the library this year is being held at Weatherstone, which is the monumental mansion down the road owned by Carolyn Rome. And apparently, Carolyn's mother comes and visits her and loves the library, the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon. So she's like, you should come have a party at our house. Which is so, and who could explain it better but Tom? It's a perfect little letter, and I just love, the kind of the backside explanation of what's going on. It's a great little story.
And the Town Hall Players are in action in Cornwall
this weekend. They've revived. That's always been, as far as I can tell, a very beloved theater group. And as anybody knows who's tried to keep any kind of volunteer activity, or really, any group activity going around here, it's people come in and they come out, and sometimes things lapse for a while. But so Town Hall Players had lapsed. They're back again, and they're doing a show called Visiting Mr. Green, about an older person and a younger person who collide, literally, and the what happens in the aftermath.
We go into the next page, and there's an interesting story that Patrick Sullivan did from that town meeting. I was there about the illegal steps at Salisbury Town Hall. Basically, not only the steps, but the handicap ramps are all illegal. The handicap ramps, because they're right under where ice falls, and the steps are just the wrong height, you look at it and you look at the price tag for this, but it has to be that high. I mean, you're looking at close to $250,000 to remedy that problem the correct way.
For people who have always wondered why the steps are taped off in front of Salisbury Town Hall, it's exactly those reasons. And, it goes back to, what is it, what year was the Town Hall fire? It's the 70s?
1985.
When it was redesigned. And as anybody knows who's ever done a house project, sometimes things don't come out. There's things you just don't think about. And it does seem like a lot of public spaces around here have roof issues and seem to not have been fully designed with the snow in mind. But yes, you will often see the snow and the ice sheeting down on those bad weekends.
All right, Salisbury Fall Festival, that's coming up the 5th, 6th, and 7th of October.
That's right, and that's always a fun weekend and starts on the Friday. And I would say we've been pretty lucky with having amazing weather for it. And soon you will see the scarecrows appearing, not just in Salisbury, but this year in Lakeville as well. And there's going to be a pet parade. And how fun is that?
And sidewalks and dogs, the talk of the selectmen.
I know. I love this. This is like the guerrilla version of selectmen work, which is last week we had Asher Pavel and Priscilla Pavel driving around Cornwall looking for data on where the self signals are strong and where they're weak. And then in North Canaan, Craig Whiting, the selectman, walked through town to see where people are not cleaning up after their dogs, which is a very big, we want people to want to walk around our towns, and to have a lot of dog debris on the sidewalks is really not a great incentive to people to to perambulate.
I like that dog debris. I like that.
Dog debris. Why does it use dog that. Do?
I like that.
Dog debris. Used to be dog do.
Doobie doobie do.
All right. I want to talk once again because whenever I see the Bend, I have to hear about it. You've got a story about the Bend in Cornwall again.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, so actually, you know, inquiring minds want to know, but somebody had said to me, when the town meeting very easily passed this plan for the Bend that's been, I believe this is part of the money from the GE River cleanup, that they're doing work over at the Bend, which is a very popular spot on the Housatonic River in West Cornwall, to add some laboratories, to add some parking space. The Housatonic Valley Association has been very actively involved in making sure that the river is safe. And it passed very easily at town meeting, and somebody said to me, I don't know, I think that went too easily. There's a lot of opponents to that, and I think that they're waiting for the Housatonic River Commission to step in and say, you can't do that. But the Housatonic River Commission did not do that. They gave the final approval that's needed, and that work will begin. And I think that it's going to be nice at this time of year when the river is really running for people to come and see the beautiful river.
All right. And Shaw has a couple of stories from Colebrook and also Winstead.
Right. Of course, this is an ongoing – this is a story that's relevant to all towns in our area, which is the land conservancies do such heroic work to preserve open space, not just fields but also forests and farms and the rivers, of course. And the money for that has to come from somewhere, and that article helps explain where some of the funding comes from, state and federal government.
All right, we'll go to the editorial and opinion pages. West Cornwall's September Challenge, Janet.
That's right. We've written stories about this, and surely anyone who drives down Route 7 will realize it, but that covered bridge that goes into West Cornwall and is such an easy conduit into that town is closed for renovations that are very necessary and will change the bridge dramatically. And boy, merchants and residents who live in West Cornwall are feeling the pain, however, of having to travel around and not having easy access for people who want to visit them either. So we write about that and we give the alternate routes and want to give a shout out to all those who are inconvenienced by this and to encourage everyone to visit West Cornwall once that bridge is done. Go over the new bridge.
Well, there's great factors about having a bridge like that, a one-lane bridge in your town, a covered bridge.
Yeah.
But when it has to be repaired, it's unlike other bridges where you can have one-lane traffic. Mm. When you have one lane, there's no one-lane traffic.
Yeah, that's true.
No, right.
Not even for a cart.
It's got to be closed.
No, it's historic. And, you know, that's the charm of it. But, yeah, that's the difficulty of it as well in this situation. So,
but better than the Iron Bridge in Falls Village, as we know, which took
years.
That's
right.
It did. So, yes, hopefully this. Well, they're saying this project is ahead of schedule, so let's hope that continues. And we're all thinking of West Cornwall, and everybody should visit in October.
Okay, you've got part one of a three-part series on Cricket Valley Energy in the Viewpoint side.
That's right, and we have this from Blake Levitt, who really does a lot of research when she does these pieces for us, and we're very happy to have them. She brings the science into it, but makes it readable. So do read through this if there's if you have any interest at all in Cricket Valley Energy, building the power plant in Dover, New York, and what it might do to the air in Connecticut right over the state line. And if you live within the sound of our voices, you should be interested in it. So take a read.
And take a ride over to the site. Yeah,
that's right.
It's an amazing thing to look at.
It's amazing. It's even if you never played Sim City years ago.
It's amazing.
Right.
It's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Once again, Peter Steiner. I just also,
right.
I just
Peter
get
Steiner takes, he rates the best flip,
yeah.
So don't miss that.
That's right.
And Dick Ellis has a really charming piece on the Red Sox hitting their 100th win this year, and they did it the same night as a debate for the gubernatorial race in Connecticut. So he gives his take on that.
All right. We will. We only have about, we've got plenty of time left here, but we have about 5 minutes left. We'll
we
go
have
to,
a lot to talk
yeah.
about.
We'll go to Compass.
Well, first we have to go to health, which is everybody's sneezing, oh. And I'll tell you, I keep thinking it's that horrible goldenrod that's everywhere, but it's not. It's mold. And the article explains why. And I was cleaning my windowsills this morning, and it's unbelievable how it just creeps up. You find mold in the most disgusting, unexpected places. In Compass, which is an excellent small compass, and we have larger ones coming up again in October, Stephanie Coven, a beautiful story, again, first in a series about walking meditation. And I think people who suffer anxiety and depression and just people who like to get out and get a little fresh air, walking meditation is a really big deal because walking is great cardiovascular and it clears your head up a little bit and it also allows you to focus because, as she said, you know, you can find yourself just paying attention to footstep after footstep, which, of course, is why so many people love the Appalachian Trail. Marcin Epworth, so funny, went to the Fermentation Festival in Great Barrington and wrote a very funny story about Marcin, who lived in China for many years and is very familiar with all sorts of interesting fermented food, Asian style, and gives her explanation of it. Leanne Graham reviewing A Simple Favor, which is a new movie with Anna Kendrick, who is so great, and explaining sort of how these how we can sometimes let ourselves get out of control as we look for more hits and likes from social media.
You know, I want to get back to mold for a second because across the state line in the Dover School District, they found out of their elementary school, very smart, with the humid weather, they decided to bring in people in check, and they had a huge mold problem.
Yeah, it comes up fast.
And they brought in remediation crews, and they sent out letters in advance. They closed the school for one day, and it's one of those things that we just don't realize the type of weather we've been through this summer.
Yeah.
Just really is a big, huge incubator for mold.
Yeah, and that happened in the Millbrook schools in New York too, and two of them, and we have that covered in the Millerton News this week.
All right. So now we have about 2.5-3 minutes left because you've got fall improvement.
It's giant. And Alexander Wilburn did a beautiful, beautiful job. And James Clark, look at how gorgeous that cover is. Just the iconic photo of what you think of New England in autumn is. And so Alex themed this issue sort of on a back to school. And one of the wonderful things about him is he works really beautifully with our summer interns and got a lot of them to write unexpectedly fascinating stories about the things that they were passionate about. And that was kind of his instruction to them, is like, you know, what really lights your light up? And he's got a completely unexpected mix of stories. Beautiful photos. Alex has just got an incredible sense of aesthetics. He interviewed Amy Lake, one of my favorite tennis partners and gardening friends, but also a teacher who's fascinating and spends her summer vacations in really interesting ways, but also brings a lot to her classroom at the Lee H. Kellogg School. He talks about after-school snacks, very cute. He reviews Jessie Sheehan's book. She's a very popular local author, actually a popular national author, and who doesn't want a cookie after school, maybe an apple? And then his favorite books about being in school, including, of course, Harry Potter. People who are always looking for stuff to do up here will love the lavishness with which he presents some of the signature autumn events here, with photos from the last couple of years and description of it. Arthur Potter, who's one of our wonderful summer interns and very, you know, just seems like one of those kids that kind of just has, it just is perfect. And interesting story about insecurity about going to a school dance. Very, very interesting insight into the teenage mind. And I think that we're all looking for a little bit of that. Pony Club, by the way, coming up this weekend. Alex does this funny story about doing a Swedish clean at his house, which as I prepare to clean out all the mold and pollen from my windowsills, Kate Hawkswender, my favorite writer, writing about her favorite horror films, and I have to say it's an extra good story. And some of them are set here in Connecticut, and just Mia Tittman talking about the autumn aesthetic. Ashley Baldwin unexpectedly writing about K-pop. And Quincy Cabot, who is our award-winning summer intern, earned the Robert Estabrook Rotary Award, writing about video games, and of course brings his unique Quincy Cabot point of view to it. So definitely worth reading in this week's issue, but also should be out in at the grocery store and stuff like that, and really quite a beautiful job that Alex did on it.
Yeah, you go through the Brewski Fest, you go through the Fall Festival, you go through the Crop Walk, the Dog Walk, which raises funds.
That's right.
That's all in there. And I think that looks like Mark Scarborough's dog. That's it. I don't know if it is.
The collie.
The collie.
Yeah.
He's got two. They've got two beautiful collies.
Tradle and I forgot the other one's name. Yeah. I love Mark Scarborough. Yeah. Oh, there it is.
And yes, beautiful dog.
I'm not sure that's they're ugly enough, but I get to see one collie.
I think it might not be. That one looks like a toy collie. Actually,
you see one collie is.
No, but Alexander took that photo. So
except for Brent Collie.
Somebody around.
Brent Collie does not look like that.
Brent Collie, happy birthday today! Is Brent's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Brent!
Happy birthday.
So, well, that'll do it for the show for today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good week.
You too.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. And, of course, you can catch this show once again online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And how about going to their sites, which is tricornernews.com. And also they're on Facebook as well at the Lakeville Journal.